I'm just going to be real honest with you. I'm struggling because I look at our nation, I look at our state, I look at our country, I look at our neighbors, and I'm going, what is going on? How did it get this bad? Have you not said that? Have you not just sat and watched Fox or whatever news outlet that you watch and go, what is going on? How can people, and this is what I've said, how can people say the things that they're going to say and leave out the Word of God? Like, it's not a question. Like, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you to be a prophet unto the nations. Psalm 139 verse 13 says this, for you were formed in my inward parts. You knit me together. This is David talking in my mother's womb. That my days were numbered, that you know every hair on my head, you know everything that is going on. Why in the world can we, that we call ourselves a Christian nation, why can't we stand on the principles of the Bible? And I'm telling you guys, I've been struggling. And I know that we don't need to be talking about these things publicly, but I feel like we have to address some things. Because God says, Sam, the problem's not those people that are for abortion. That's not the problem. And then I said, I asked God, I said, well, what's the problem then? Like, they don't think the way that I think. He goes, but they're not the problem. And so he led me to this passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, and we've talked on this quite a bit. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and he says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. So, one of the things that God really expressed to me was, like, don't be caught off guard by people's stupidity. In the last days, there's difficult times coming. But look what Paul says. And I love what he says about the last days, because Jesus even talks about the last days. You turn to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus talks about it. He says the last days will be like the days of Noah. When Noah was trying to enter the ark, he was warning everybody. He's like, listen, there's a flood coming. Rain has never fell on the earth before. And people are going, okay, you're telling me there's this liquid stuff falling from the sky and it's coming to get us. They all thought that he was crazy until the day that rain started falling from the sky and the earth opened up and everybody was drowning. Jesus said the last days will be like that. Everybody will be marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking and being merry. They're paying no attention. They have no concern for what the Bible says, the authority of God. And in that day, it'll strike like that. In the last days, that's how life will be. He said, so if you want to be aware of the last days, if you want to understand what I'm talking about, just go look at the time of Noah where everybody was all about themselves. They were these things. And this is why Paul writes to Timothy these things. He said, you growing up in the ministry, you talking, you telling, you trying to show people who Jesus is, you've got to understand it's going to be very, very difficult. And this is part of the problem. I think it's part of the problem for me is just because certainly in my own soul, in my own heart, I look around and go, how could somebody think the way that they think? Like the Bible, if we're truly believers in the Word of God, how can people not open it and see that abortion is wrong? See that the Bible's very clear on same-sex marriages, that it's a sin. Now, can I just say this? If you're a person in here that's had an abortion, I don't know if you have. I'm not telling you that you, I'm not calling you out. I'm not saying that you can't inherit the kingdom of God. I'm telling you that God loves you a lot and He forgives mistakes. He's overcome those in the power of the cross. I'm not blaming you. If you're struggling with these homosexual thoughts that I just talked about, I'm not telling you that you're an awful person. You're a person growing up where the world has really gotten a hold of your mind and you just got to trust that God's better. Because truthfully, church, I'm broken over what I see. And I think for far too long, we just, me especially, have just buried my head in the sand and just pretended like it's not a problem. And can I say this? If you're offended by something I've said already, can I just say this? I know the world you live in says differently than what I preach. I'm not saying this to stir the pot. I'm saying this to settle the soul. Because you being biblical and trusting God is more than anything. It's the thing that will sustain you. Because look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about what the last days will be like. For people will be lovers of themselves. All that matters is me. I wrote that in my Bible because a person that is a lover of themselves says, all that matters is me. And we hear these phrases, my choice, my body. So why am I surprised that we're living in a day and age where people say, my choice, my body? Because Paul said to Timothy, he said, in the last days, people will love themselves. They won't care about what you think. They won't care about the souls of other people. All they'll care about is who? Me. He says they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be proud and arrogant. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. They'll be brutal. Not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. See, the problem is they'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And it says something in verse 5 that I think is the thing that I struggle with the most. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying His power altogether. Is that we as a church have made it so easy to come in and pretend your way through life. It's called a hypocrite, an actor. Is that we have an appearance of what seems to be good, but not trusting God at His Word. This appearance of, well, if I can just outwardly be clean, but inwardly I don't follow God. And to me, this is where God has kind of landed in my heart of saying, the problem is not our stance on abortion or our stance on homosexuality or our stance on these things. The problem is the church has stopped standing on anything. When we should have been standing on the Word of God all along as that our firm foundation of what we believe, instead of saying that we love God, we walk it. Instead of saying, hey, this sounds good, we do it. We become people of faithfulness unto God, knowing that, God, it doesn't matter what my identity is here. What matters is what You've called me to be. But God says, listen, in the last days, the thing that people will have a form of godliness. They'll go to church. They'll say some good things, but they will never practice. They will never follow through. They will never be connected to me. This is why we preach Matthew 7:21 so much around here. That they say, well, but Lord, we did this in Your name, and this in Your name, and this in Your name. He's going to say, depart from me, you doer of iniquity, for I never knew you. We're living in a day and age where people have a look-alike of what it means to be a follower of God, but never really trusting in the power of Jesus. And we go, okay, Sam, you got to kind of get off the soapbox. No, I'm not going to get off a soapbox because here's what I believe. I still don't think this is the problem. I think the problem is that I'm caught off guard and surprised that people are going to act this way when God says, no, they're going to act this way. And you know what the results of acting this way is? Listen to this. Jump down to chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, don't be surprised in the last day when people are these things. Don't let it cut your throat. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it take your knees out from under you. Don't be surprised by this. And this is what I found, is I'm surprised by all these things. And God said, this is going to happen. And here's the thing that I want you to know. People say, well, what can we do? Can I just tell you this? There's nothing you can do about people being this way. God says that people are going to be that way. There's nothing that I can do personally to change history. Because it's saying, the word's saying, that all this is leading up to something big. Like, it has to get worse before Christ will return. So the problem is not that people will be these things. The problem is that I don't understand that this is part of the plan of God. And what happens when people become like this? Listen, what happens? The result of people being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not having the love of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying His power altogether. Avoid such people. 7, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. That's the result of being one of those things. Verse 7 says, always learning, but they're never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. You know what that means? It means that people will play games with God. If they will sit in church on Sunday mornings, sitting under the Word of God, but never being moved by it. It's that we keep God at this distance. Instead of personally loving God, we have an appearance of godliness. And what's the danger of having an appearance of godliness? Chapter 4, verse 3. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Do I need to read that again? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. You know what that means? Is that some of us will leave here today and you'll go, man, he's bigoted. Man, he's rude. Man! And the problem is not that I preach really hard. The problem is that you don't want to listen. It says that there's a time coming when people will just won't endure sound teaching. They'll go, they'll make up every excuse, and this is what will happen. Can I just say this? This is what's going to happen from today. Some of you will decide not to ever come back here again because you'll go, you know what? That's just something that I don't want to be a part of because I think that that is rude and that's not in the spirit of Jesus. Why? Because you don't want to endure sound teaching. Because your gospel is better than the real gospel. Your belief in what you believe in, because I love somebody that has one of these problems, is greater than the truth of the Scripture. And he says, in the last days, because people will be lovers themselves, they will not endure sound teaching. They'll get upset at it. And what will they do? It says that they'll gather together, having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And this is what I'm talking about. This is happening in the church today. Instead of preaching the Word of God, what happens? We go, how do we make a better version of you? God doesn't want a better version of you. God wants you to just trust that He loves you and that you need Him. He doesn't need you to be perfect because Jesus was perfect. What He needs you to do is say, okay, God, I trust you today. I trust you today. I trust you today. And you don't worry about what all the world has to say. You go, God, I trust you today. I'm going to endure hard teaching. I'm not going to let it make me ball up and complain. What I'm going to do is say, God, I trust that your word is good. And this is Paul encouraging Timothy, who's going to take over one of the largest churches in Jerusalem. And he says, Timothy, you just got to trust that the Word of God is better. Don't be held back by what people are going to say when you teach truth. Because people won't endure truth sometimes. It's easier to listen to somebody that's going to tell you that you're right all the time. Is it not? It's easier when you're just like a Labrador puppy, like... But this is the problem with the church, is we don't want to stand on anything. Because we're afraid of what... Like, I almost asked us not to put this online. And you want to know why I was afraid of that? It's because I'm afraid of people targeting us and going, you know what? That people right there, they're just a bunch of bigots. Maybe the world just needs to hear truth. And I'm not going to fear what the world says that we need to be, because we're people who are going to teach the truth every time we get an opportunity to open up the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the fact that it doesn't matter if people want to feel really good when they come in. I'm going to stand on the fact that I know that people need Jesus, and the only way to need Jesus is you've got to see the truth of the Scriptures. And if the Word of God is not powerful enough for you, then this is not the place for you. But not only will they have itching ears, teachers to suit their own passions. Verse 4, listen to this. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into every sort of myth. You know the old song that says, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything? That's where we get that song from. A person that's not willing to stand up on the Word of God will fall for anything. They'll chase every fad that's out there. They'll chase popular preaching. Why? Because it suits their passion. Because if I can just be shallow for Jesus, I can be deep in the world. Can I say that again? If I can be shallow in Jesus, I can live any way I want to out there. Because it's easier to live any way that I want to outside of these four walls. But see, here's what God convicted me of. If blatant sin is not the issue, then I'm frustrated. And if being surprised by how people react to truth is not the issue, what's the issue? And I just want to share with you what God laid on my heart. Because I wrote this at the bottom of my Bible. I said, what do we do? I mean, truthfully, if we can't stop this, if we can't make it better, what do we do? And here's what God told me. He said, well, just look up a few verses. Go back to chapter 3. He says to Timothy in verse 14, he says, but as for you, because of these things, the way people are, but concerning you. You know what that means? The only thing that you can control is how your attitude. The only thing that you can control is your godliness. The only thing that you can control as a father in here is how you raise your family. The only way you can control your family as a mother is the way that you raise your kids. It's how you live your life out every day. That's the only thing that we can do. That's what I wrote in my Bible. The only thing that I can control is how I live out my walk in the Lord. That's the only thing that I can control. Because I know when Joshua said this in 24, as for me and my house will serve the Lord, he was choosing that day. It didn't matter if the rest of Israel was going to go across the river and serve the other gods. He says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live out godly things. We're going to do godly things. We're going to trust that the Word of God is good. And we're going to teach that. We're going to preach that. We're going to live that out. And when we kind of get our feathers ruffled by the Word of God, we're going to stand firm that God is good. No matter what the world says, no matter what, how it causes issues out there, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And this is what he's teaching Timothy. He's like, Timothy, all this chaos that you're going to live in, the only thing that you can control is your godliness. It's how you respond to the Scriptures, how you live it out. Are you the one that is a lover of self, that has a form of godliness but not denying his power altogether? If that is you, if you're in here acting a fool, going, you know what, I'm going to live a certain way in here, but I'm not going to live it out there, that's something that you can control. You can say, you know what, I'm going to step it up a little bit. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to stop depending on Brother Sam to get on his soapboxes every 6 months where I get my butt back in the Bible. I'm going to stop being that way. I'm going to be a person who loves God. And he says, listen, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. We don't let decisions that people around us affect us. We continue in what we know is truth. We continue and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred Scriptures. You want to know how to grow godliness? You become acquainted with the Scriptures. I think that's why I was so impressed with a young man that like learned 25 verses in a day and a half. Because my hope is, because they were simple verses for him to learn. But what my hope is when Parker gets older and life gets tough, those Scriptures never leave him. Like one of the Scriptures was, is that Jesus sticketh closer than a brother. And my prayer is for Parker is like, when he gets to that point where it feels like everybody else has left him, he goes, you know what? Jesus never has, because the Bible says that he sticks closer than a brother. The things that he learned when he was young, he doesn't leave them when he's old. It only encourages him. But look what else it says. Which these Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And in 16, we all know 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "For all scripture is profitable, is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." 17, "That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So, my question is simple. What can we do? Can I just speak to what we can do right now? You become godly. You train your children to be godly. You live out your faith with courage and boldness. You do what you can do and stand on the Word of God. That's what you can do. But can I ask another question? What can the church do? In light of the decision of Roe versus Wade, I think the worst thing that we can do is celebrate and not become action-minded. Can I say that again? Because we want to celebrate that we just kind of, the church has kind of won something now. We've taken a bunch of losses lately, but finally we won something, right? Can I get an amen? It feels like we finally won something, does it not? Come on, amen. We finally won something. We finally got something to go in the way that we believe. What the Scripture teaches us to believe, we finally won something. But here's how we drop the ball. When we're not willing to adopt and get into foster care, when we're not willing to go serve at the Hope Pregnancy Center, when we just sit around and go, "We won, we won, we won, we won," and not willing to do anything about it. See, a godly person is a person that will stand up and say, "You know what? I don't want another kid in my house, but if we're going to celebrate Roe versus Wade and that being overturned, and now the adoption agencies are going to start blowing up, I need to become that parent. I need to be that gap filler for somebody." As a church, you know what I think that we should do with this? I think that we should form an action plan. Not, let's get in a holy huddle and celebrate that we won something finally. That if you're going to be an adoptive parent, what can we do as a church? How can we provide diapers and formula? And how can we help the foster parent? Do we have a foster ministry? See, we as people have got to become action minded. Because the last thing that I want to do, can I just be honest with you, is drop the ball. What good is it to overturn Roe versus Wade if the church doesn't step up? Can I get an amen on that? I feel like we're dead in here. What good is it to overturn Roe versus Wade if the church is not willing to step up and fill in the gap? What good is it if we just sit on our lazy rear ends and just celebrate something that we're not going to participate in? You control your godliness. And how is that? How do you control your godliness? You step up when you win. You be willing to do what nobody else is willing to do. You serve in a way that nobody else is willing to serve. How? Because you know what? I'm going to trust that God is better than the end times. This is all part of His plan. But as for me and my house, the way that I'm going to make sure my family is secure in Christ, we're going to be godly, we're going to be righteous, we're going to be the ones that stand up when nobody else will. How do we stop stupidity? We don't. But how do you stop your own stupidity? You become more and more like Jesus. And the only way to do that is you got to know Him personally. So with every head bowed and every eye closed,